Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. And truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Sir, we're here.
Praise God. Good to be back on the line. We thank God for a little R&R, a little rest and relaxation. You never know how much you need it till you get it. And glad to be able to take some time off in August. Pray that everyone had a blessed end of summer and ready to get back into the Word. So we're going to start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we'll be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, it's been a long, hot summer, and able to get back to get some physical restoration, and now we're ready to head into the fall and get back into the Word. Thank God for His Word. Thank you for His keeping power, and thank God for the ability to know that the word doesn't change, and so that we can pick back up. And we're in the book of Acts talking about the journey, the final leg, if you will, of the Apostle Paul's journey, and how he's dealing with the people of the church, the people outside the church, the politics and the religion. And, you know, the title of our Bible study is There's Nothing New Under the Sun. And we know that since we've been out in August, that the people at the church, people outside the church and the politics are still a hot mess. So we're ready to pick back up. Sheila G.
Amen. Truly nothing new under the sun. When you look at even what's going on now between, and I really see the whole thing, what you do in the dark eventually comes out in the light, and then when everybody's trying to get power, but everybody sees in the end of the day that God is the only one that has the power. You may think you have power for a minute, but at the end of the day, it's up to God.
Amen, amen. Dr. G, welcome back. You think about where we left off, we're picking back up with the same crazy stuff that Paul was going through, the same crazy stuff we're going through, the politics, the people inside the church, outside the church, and then the religion and the whole gamut is still a hot mess. Dr. G.
You got that right. Nothing has changed. It's just getting deeper and deeper. And that's the thing about, you know, the Bible teaches us that you know, nothing ever really changes. You know, it's all the same, different times, different seasons, but it's all still the same mess.
Amen. And as long as you're dealing with man and mankind, you're going to have, like you said, Sheila G., some folk that won't be in power. You know, you got people that are going to, and we were talking about the last time we get together, people want to pimp the church and stay in power, and the church stay in power in politics, stay in power in private industry, and treat people any old kind of way and do any old kind of thing, and have different standards and different rules for one group and different rules and different standards for another group. And we see the Apostle Paul is going through the same thing, and he's dealing with the same things. And you know, you study Acts chapter 21, 22, 23, and 24. We'll see how Paul, as he's going through his last part of his ministry, he's heading back to Jerusalem. And as he heads back to Jerusalem, he's confronted and he's beaten and he's accosted for telling the truth. And you know, when he was on his way, he ran into Philip and the folks that were staying with Philip, one of God's early deacon person in ministry, and he prophesied that he'd be bound and be beaten. And Paul said, okay, I'm ready not only to go, but I'm ready to die, ready to be beaten, but ready to be died. So he understood what his mission was, and he didn't allow the enemy to dissuade him or distract him from carrying out the will of God. And that was one of the things that led him to keep going in ministry. And we talked about last time we were together about the faithful few that continued the work of the ministry in spite of the challenges of ministry. And we know that last 2.5 years that because of the global pandemic that there have been challenges, but ministry has to keep going. And since we've been out in August, there's the prevalence of another pandemic, the monkeypox, not the pandemic, but another a disease, the monkeypox, and you had the different scenarios of in the politics region where they overturned Roe v. Wade, and the former president number 45 is in hot water in another category with stuff he got at his Florida home, and it's a lot of stuff that goes on, but it's nothing new under the sun. You've had the same type of things went on during biblical days, the same type of things that are going on today. But the consistent thing is that we have to understand it. Like you said, God has the power and that God is in control, and that the best thing for us to do is to, I think the last subject that we had was to stay humble and to stay unified. And when you stay humble and you stay unified in God, what happens is you can weather those storms. I believe last time I was talking about being like that old oak tree, like our ancestors were, our parents, grandparents were, that, you know, sometimes it was droughts, and we see the droughts all over the Midwest, and we see floods, and we see, you know, severe weather and climate change. And you have to be like that tree that's planted by the river's water, that brings forth its leaf and season, and you're able to withstand the challenges of the drought and the challenges of storms and floods and rains and politics and religions and family and people inside the church and outside the church. If you learn to be humble, if you learn to rely on the power of God and stay unified, what happens is you're able to endure. And you know, God never promised that the road would be easy. The only thing he did promise is that he will be there with us. So that's the great thing about God is that he'll give you an assignment. The assignment might be difficult. The assignment might be challenging. The assignment might take you through some rough roads. But God is going to be there with you through all of those things. And so, you know, we had time to reflect back on all the things that are going on in this world, all the things that were going on with Paul. And Sheila, one of the things that you were saying is that Paul was challenged, and he had challenged to go back and talk to the people that he had persecuted, and it was like no, he didn't get dissuaded. He could have said, "Nah, I ain't going back to see them folks. They crazy. I ain't gonna kill me." but Paul said, "Not only am I willing to be bound, but I'm also willing to die." And so all of this was on his assignment. All of this was on his orders to go back to Jerusalem, all this in the road back to Rome, where he was a Roman citizen, where he would present the gospel to Rome. And so this is the final six chapters of Acts of Paul making his way back to Rome after where we picked up last time in chapter 22, where he was explaining his road to Damascus experience and telling it to the Jews in Jerusalem. And then they just kirked out or flicked out on us. Said, "Yeah, you did all this. Now we're ready to beat you." But Paul turns to some political things to get them to start fighting against each other. And as a good politician would do, and get them to play into his hand, and ultimately end up allowing him through the orchestration of God to get him to on his way to go back to Rome. And so that kind of throws all the background of where we at, but here we are, Paul giving his testimony about his road to Damascus experience, where he couldn't see, he was knocked off his high horse, became humble. The people at that time in that place picked him up. Ananias told him to take his sight and to go and do what the Lord wanted him to do. And he went and he preached, and he ran into some difficulties, but he kept on going. Sheila G, did I cover everything, or you got some to recap?
No, that was a full recap, because we're up to the part, because I highlighted it in my Bible, where he was given his testimony, and we're stopped at chapter 12, where he's now saying
chapter
22, verse 12, verse 12 is where we stop. Chapter 22, verse 12, and that's where we are. He's given that testimony, and you know, as you were saying that, we don't do that often enough. We don't tell our story often enough. A lot of times we preach at people. Someone was sharing with me that they went to a service on Sunday, and the preacher was telling the people all the things that were wrong with them, but he never said we. He said I. And as you were recapping, it's like, you know, it's like y'all, what he was saying was true, but it was like y'all need to get your lives straight, and you need to do this, you need to do that. And as you were talking now of Paul continually telling our story, we don't do that enough, and I think that's why the world is in the mess that it is now, because if we would just tell our story, then all of us had that miracle in our life that had us turn from our wicked ways and just trust in the Lord. If we would just share those experiences, we could be able to convert more people, and this would be a better place. And even as he's going through, he's still telling that same story about the goodness of God.
Amen. Dr. G, any comments on the recap?
Well, you know, you know, I think what you and Sheila have said is very true, and I agree with what Sheila, you were saying. You know, as Christians, you know, we ought to have a story, and I've shared that with my folk constantly, you know, and we ought to be ready to give that story at any time. Anytime we are witnessing to somebody, that's the whole reason why the Lord let us go through it, so that we can have something to pull back on to share with other people.
Amen, amen. So we're going to pick up in that 22nd chapter of Acts, and we just want to go back to that verse 12, where Paul was telling his story and how he came to Ananias, and he's telling him his relationship with Ananias and what Ananias had helped him to continue his ministry. And it's so important that along the way, Sheila G, that God always has someone to help us continue in our journey. And you know, sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes we don't tell people thank you. I was telling one of the young coworkers today that sometimes you are not going to get a thank you, but I wanted to thank him for the work that he was doing, because we had averted a big safety issue on yesterday, and there was a lot of chaos. It was like almost a 14-foot piece of glass that shattered at the entrance of a building. And we had to address it before it fell, hurt somebody. It was a big safety issue. And, you know, we jumped into action and got it cordoned off, and, you know, people freaking out and not being very helpful. We just stayed the course, and we got it taken care of. And none of the people that were so-called managers even said thank you, appreciated, nothing. And I said, sometimes in life, this is the way it goes, but don't be discouraged. I appreciate it. I thank you for, you know, the work and the great job that you did handling it. And I just said, so, you know, appreciate the people that recognize you and recognize the people that are helping you, because a lot of times you're not going to even get a thank you. And he was like, yeah, I see that. But, you know, this is one of the things where Paul is getting assistance all through his ministry, and we have to be thankful for the people that have assisted us in ministry. I know when we were together, we were talking about a cold glass of water. Someone gives you a glass of water. Someone gives you a word of encouragement. Someone gives you a good morning, a handshake, a hug, or a phone call. You know, appreciate those people. I think sometimes we don't appreciate people that assist us in ministry enough. And then I think sometimes we don't even realize that God has placed people in our lives to assist us in ministry. And I always tell people about Dr. G, how when I was a rookie minister, how he would just allow me to come over and preach. I was like, you know, but I appreciate that, because, you know, everybody's not going to allow a rookie minister to come over and preach. But this is someone that God places in your life that assists you in your assignment. And so you have to learn to appreciate it, learn to recognize, thank God, thank them for their yielding and willingness to help you along the way. And so this is what Ananias was doing for Paul. And so when you pick that up in chapter 22, verse 12, see, here Paul is got knocked off his high horse, and he's humble. He said, Lord, what do you have me to do? And I'll be reading from the NIV. And in chapter 22, verse 12, he says, a man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. And so he was a Jew. But Paul was a persecutor of the Jew, but Ananias was obedient to God to help him. And so in verse 13, he says, he stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. At that very moment, I was able to see him. So imagine if Ananias wasn't being obedient to Paul, and Ananias was just being selfish, and Ananias didn't want to help him. But he said he stood beside him. He said he stood beside and called him Brother salt. And there's so many times where people have the opportunity to be, I call it selfless, where they're not in it for themselves, but they're in it for the glory of God. And so they become selfless to be able to help someone else in ministry, help someone else to find their way. And this is so important in ministry that we stand with each other and do whatever we can to help each other further the cause of Christ. Sheila G.
And the only way that we can do that is to take the focus off of ourselves and put the focus on Christ. And as you were talking about that, I thought about, you know, you in the ministry, Pastor Billy in the ministry, and when, you know, we had to establish, like, becoming pastor, and there were, you knew as you walked in that the Satan was going to have certain people that would smile, that song back in the day, smiling faces tell lies, don't tell the truth, that you're going to have people that are going to smile in your face but turn around and stir stuff up in the church. But you can't allow it, that focus on your feelings and how you feel about that, even though you know that that person is going to be one of the ones, because God will point it out to you. You have to love the hell right out of them. You have to love it. I may not like what you're doing. I may not like how you're acting, but I'm going to show you love because I want you to see the Jesus in me. But in order to do that, we have to come out of ourselves to truly be servants. And I think part of what's wrong with our society now as a whole is it is about self. It is about self-gratification. It is about me getting what I want, how I want, and not taking the answer no. It is about that whole crab syndrome. But in the ministry, if God says do it, and he tells you to have that brotherly love, to love your neighbor, even when you know that person is going to turn around, go home, call up everybody in the church, and have a call meeting to disrupt stuff, you still have to love them. You still have to show them. And a lot of times, that's how the defenses come down, because they know they're being ugly, they're smiling in your face and stabbing you in the back. But if you hold your head up high and you show them the love of Jesus, then you can look past it. If you do, that's why I like Colossians 3, because it tells you how to live holy. And part of what it tells you is you're not doing it unto man, you're doing it unto me. Whatever you do unto me, and I will bless you. And that is the best way for us to get out of our feelings and not be in our feelings when you know that person has done you wrong or accused you wrong, but showing them that love and showing them the way.
Amen, amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
And, you know, I guess for me, the Lord really showed me a long time ago, because I was, in my younger years in my ministry youth, I was blessed to have my first pastor was really a down-to-earth individual who loved people. And when I accepted the Lord and accepted my calling, he gave me an opportunity to preach and to do a lot of the different things, you know, within the church. So that as I grew up and I moved on, I found that a lot of pastors weren't like that. As Sheila was saying, you know, it was all about them. It was about their church. It was about whatever. But I had always promised the Lord that if he ever gave me a church, I was going to open it up and allow other preachers the opportunity to come preach. You know, we fellowship with other, because it's not about me. You know, your church. No, that's the Lord's church. I'm just the under-shepherd. I have to do what the Lord say. And you're right. People are not always going to say thank you. And I've learned that not only in the spiritual, but I've learned it in the secular.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned how you suck it up, you keep smiling, and you God bless them and go on about their business.
Amen. You got that right. Amen. So we see you just have to be grateful. Like in that chapter 22, verse 13, he said, he stood by me. You know, and that says something when you are in a position where you realize that in challenging times in ministry or in your life or in your family, that you have, I call it a faithful few that will stand by.
Right.
And we don't want to take that for granted, that God always has somebody, amen, that will stand by you and encourage you. And, you know, that's the thing that I like about God is that he is not a God that's far off, but he took on this flesh that we are in, and he experienced what we experienced. In other words, he had to sleep. He had to eat. He had to, you know, endure the heat. He had to endure thirst. He had to endure heartache and pain and suffering. So he understands what we go through, the mental anguish, the physical anguish, the spiritual anguish. He understood the ups and the downs. And so we're not in this thing by ourselves with someone who doesn't understand. And so what he does, Sheila G, is he allows us, as we go through our assignment and ministry, he allows us to be encouraged or to be helped along the way by people who will stand by us. And sometimes they stand by us for a short period of time, but sometimes they're with us for a longer period of time. But along the way, there are people there that God brings alongside to help, to refresh, to encourage, to be with us during these tough times. And so that was just one of the things that in Paul's beginning of his ministry, Christianity ministry, is that God brought someone to stand by him, to call him brother, to help him to receive his sight and to encourage him. So let's see what else Ananias says to him in verse 14. In verse 14, Acts 22, verse 14, he says, "Then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth.'" And so he has a powerful word for Paul to encourage him and to give him instruction. And what he does is interesting, is he continues to stand by him, continue to give him instruction, and then he tells him, what are you waiting for? So let's look at verse 15. He says, "You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard." And then in verse 16, he switches up and he says, "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name." In other words, don't sit down and now you saved, you know, you know what you need to do, and don't do nothing. You know, and that's one of the things, Dr. G, when folk come into church, you put them to work. it's like you've been saved now, you know, and let's get you baptized. You need to know where you get ready to work, you know, what you need to do. Don't sit down here and bask on the mountaintop. Now it's time to get ready and go down into the valley, roll your sleeves up and get busy. Yep. G.
The reason I was laughing is because I think about Pastor G and even you and how God gives pastors that's kind of our role a lot of times as our first lady or as a pastor's wife, is that when you all are taking it and God has given that calling, and which is why it's good we take that time in August for everybody to get rest, because like you said, even Jesus would have to rest and get himself mm-hmm. together to continue on with the ministry. But sometimes when the pastor gets discouraged because he is the underservant, he is the under-shepherd, and he is carrying everything, we have to stand up and push him. And sometimes it's not a nice push. I know there have been times where Pastor G has gone through some horrible things, but it's just mm-hmm. God saying, "Okay, this one season is over. I'm ready to start a new season, but I need to move some things out the way and some people out the way before you can start this new season. But it's going to cut, and it's going to be hurt." and mm-hmm. he would feel like, I'm not doing it. What's the use? It's not making a difference. But I would have to, God would give me the assignment. I'm like, Lord, why do I have to be the one to do this? But he's like, this is what you're here. And I would have to tell him, God has given you the faith to do what you need to do, and he made you in charge of this church, and he's going to bring you through. And he would literally say to me, but I'm not Jesus. So he would get it out, and go into prayer, and you see his butt is still here. but I would have to be the Ananias to say, I see you, but God called you. And okay, but he had to be faithful enough, like Paul, to trust in the Lord to kind of lick his wounds, go through the motions. And that's why, like you said, it's really important that pastors, preachers, everybody does take a break sometime during the year, because it will wear you down. And then you go back, you and the Lord. But when you go through, you need that Ananias in your life to push you.
Yeah.
But God gives us the buffer to take it and then push, because you know that I always knew that he had the faith to keep going on, but it was my job, my role, that I had to pull on my faith to push him until he could get his back. And that's kind of what Ananias was doing. He started that early in his ministry because he knew God got a big plan for you. He got something big, but you are going to come across some stuff, but you got to get up and keep going. And one day you're going to fall back on this. And what's happening here, he's falling back on that testimony. And he didn't know then about the faith, but it helped him to get him through.
Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, I think Sheila hit on it. There have been quite a few times, but, you know, I've said I've had it, and she's right. You know, we as pastors, you've got to take that break where you pull away from the church, from the ministry, from it all, to regroup, refresh yourself. You know, you have to go spend time with the Lord, and you have to let the Lord talk to you, you know, to minister to you. You get to the point where dealing with people, you know, with the half-committed attitude, sometimes they want to come, sometimes they don't want to come, they don't want to give, they don't want to do this. But yet the Lord is telling you, stay your course. And I'm going to be honest. I've told the Lord, look, Lord, I don't understand your way. I don't understand what it is that you want me to do. But as Sheila was saying, she had to push. I call it nagging. She had to nag, push, or whatever. I didn't like it. But after she did it, then the Lord said, now, can you hear me now? So, you know.
Yeah.
Those are moments when people have been put in your life for a reason.
Yeah,
and you have to
listen
to them. You pray over what they're saying. You don't have to like it. But once the Lord places it within your heart and he can work on your spirit, then you get a better idea as to what it is he wants you to do.
Amen.
Amen, amen. That's powerful. That's real. You know, you get to a place where you're human and God knows what you're going through, and everyone has those moments where you're like, you know, you're physically tired, you're spiritually tired, and you need a little encouragement. We were using the football analogy on the last time we were together about, you know, you throw an interception in the first quarter, or fumble the ball, you can't give up. You got to keep going to the end of the game. You got to finish the course, and you know it's easy to get down and give up. But that's why we have to be unified. That's why we have to be humble, to realize that everybody needs some help every now and then. And you know, God places people in your life to give you that encouragement, to give you that little nag, as Dr. G was saying about Sheila G, to encourage you, the encouraging nag, to remain faithful. And Ananias, he didn't pull back. He doesn't pull back. When you look at that, he says, what are you waiting for? It's like, you've been knocked off your high horse. Yeah, you've been humbled. Yeah, you've seen the light. Yeah, you know, now you receive, you went blind, now you receive your sight. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you sight back. Now you need to get your butt up, get baptized, and go on and do what the Lord said. I mean, basically, that's what he's telling them.
That's
what
he said.
And you know, like you said, Sheila G, this was what he's telling these people now on his way to Rome. He's saying, well, this was my experience. This is how I've gotten here. You know,
right.
I wanted to let you guys know, you know, that you know, this is how I've gotten. This is my story. This is how I've gotten to
right.
this place. And you know, there were some folk that helped me along the way. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've grown in my faith since then. But this was my beginning. This is how I started out. And
right.
you know, I'm ready to go to Rome. I'm going to pass through Jerusalem on my way to Rome. And y'all going to freak out and act like, you know, you holier than thou. But I understand that's a part of ministry, that people freak out and act like they're holier than thou.
Yeah.
But not only am I ready to be bound, but I'm also ready to die for the Lord. And you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And that's why I was saying that that we have to share and that we tell one another. And I love it that he goes back to the beginning. This is how I am where I am now. And we have to remember that.
Amen, amen. So he continues his story in verse 17. And you know, that last part of verse 16 says, calling on his name. I think it's part of the Christian's vernacular, whether we know it or not, that we have this thing that when things are going down, we say, Lord, have mercy. I don't know how many times I said it during the day. But I learned it from Ma, and Ma learned it from Grandma and everybody else. But I think it's a part of the Christian culture or vernacular of when you say, Lord, have mercy. And this is what Ananias was telling Paul, is calling on his name. And how many times during the day, Sheila G or Dr. G, do you call on his name? I don't even know how many. I think it just is a part of me. That you know, it just comes out, or I'm thinking. Help
out.
Me out, Sheila G.
I know.
Help
even
me out.
When I leave out, I will say, I every morning, like this morning, even when I'm working from home, it used to be when I was driving, I would always say, lead God, direct my path, keep me from evil. But
mm-hmm.
now, as I'm heading down the steps, before I get ready to work, I say, okay, Holy Ghost, let's do this.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit. Or if I have to go into a meeting where I know it's going to be tense, I'm
mm-hmm,
like, okay,
mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit, help me out. I'll say, let's do this. I literally say, let's do this, meaning that
yeah.
I'm totally dependent on you. I can't do it without you. And even when sometimes I have to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, fix my face, help my attitude.
Yes.
And
yes.
I even had to say, Lord, keep my mouth closed.
Exactly. Dr. G, what's your testimony on that?
Amen, amen, amen. And what Sheila was saying is true, because see, that, you know, that little phrase, that's a little short prayer, whether people realize it or not. Lord, have mercy. Help me, and that part about help me to keep my mouth. That is a good one.
Yeah. I think the more you grow and the more faith you as your faith grows, that you learn to call on his name.
Okay.
And this is what Ananias told him in that verse 16, calling on his name. It's
uh-huh.
like you got to get that in. If it's not in your vernacular, in your category of go-tos, you need to get it in there because life is going to try you.
Yep, take your butt.
And so you need to call on the name of the Lord. You say, Lord, have mercy. This thing, help me to keep my face. Like you say, you go into the meetings and you don't want to make faces and you don't want to move your eyes and you don't want to say something this going. And you know someone's stuck on stupid and you got to act like, you know, you got to work through stuck on stupid.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do these old church meetings and talking to people that don't know God and talking off the wall. And it's something where you got to do what Ananias says, is call on his name. And when you learn to call on the name of the Lord, oh, my goodness, you found some help. You know, yeah. you found the help. And so Paul continues his story in verse 17. He said, when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking to me. Quick, he said, leave Jerusalem immediately because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. And so this is interesting here. As Paul was praying, he was in a trance and he was listening to the Lord. This is early in his ministry. He was told to leave Jerusalem, and that's one thing about God, is he will pull you out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
And because he knows that he needs a firebrand somewhere else.
Right.
And the folk that you're around, that you're comfortable with, that they hear you, but they're not hearing you.
It's, right.
So what God would do is say, and he told him, he said, these people ain't going to hear you. You know,
right.
they're not going to accept your testimony. And so that's why God will cause us to leave one place and go to another place. And,
yeah.
You know, I know I've had to leave, and I know, Dr. G, you've had to leave to go somewhere and he pull you out of comfort zone. Some place where you're a ministry, you could do that ministry, and people know you, you know them, and it's real comfortable. But God says, I got other work for you to do, and I need you to leave. And yeah. and it's not going to be comfortable. Help me out, Dr. G.
So you're right. The last church that I left, and I had been with that church for about 9-10 years, and had been there with the pastor, supported them, helped to start the church. And I watched as the pastor changed. You know, he became more demanding. You know, it was all about him. And it got to the point where I could not take it anymore. And the Lord told me to pack it up and leave. Now, the way it happened, it wasn't nice, but it was very uncomfortable. But I had to do it. But the people loved me, you know. And even to this day, there are people that are still there that if I walk in the room, if Sheila and I walk in the room, it's like, wow, you would have thought the king and queen had walked in. And that's the way it is sometimes, you know. The Lord will allow you to stay for a reason, but when it's time to get up and go, you've got to leave.
Yeah. Amen. Sheila G?
Well, I truly believe, and that's a lot of times where I'm doing the quote-unquote nagging with the pastor, is that God has a season. We have, in our lives, we have many different seasons. And part of that is, and I know you said this before, that our God is a progressive God, is that God knows in advance what needs to be done to help his people. So you may be comfortable doing something a certain way, but God wants to take it in a different direction, and he wants to use us to take it into a different direction. So he will either remove and move you or remove and move others. But either way, you have to be open for whichever season that God is pushing you into, and recognize that he's going to give you grace for that place, even though you're uncomfortable and Satan's putting doubt. But I've always been this is fine, this way it's always been. And there's been plenty of times where you have, where God said, I want you to do this. I want you to start this with the church. And you're like, but that makes sense. But it's like God says, I have a season coming, and because this is season is coming, I need this to be in place. So that is when you have to recognize that it's not about me, it's about God. God knows what's going on, what the plan is, and God knows where he needs me to be, and I just have to step out on faith and trust him that he's taking me to another level, or this season is over.
Amen, amen. And so Paul, he got that word from God that it's time for you to go. And so he picks up in verse 19. He says, "Lord, I replied, these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." In other words, he said, "Well, hold on a second. Wait a minute. I got a bad rap with these folk."
Right. You're going to send me after what I did to them? Like
right. God's got a sense of humor. I don't know sometimes, but he got a sense of humor. He's like, "Yep, that's what I'm talking about."
Yep. Go ahead. Tell me your faith.
Right. And then in verse 21 says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Go. I will send you far away to the Gentiles.'" He said, "Here's your assignment, buddy, bro. God is good, but you have to understand it. Paul was obedient. You know what I'm saying? He was obedient, and God would show him and take him through uncomfortable roads, uncomfortable paths, and he would put him in situations, like you said, from one season to the next season, on his way to Rome. These were the things that he endured and shared. And, we think you're ready to go to the phone line, but I just want us to remember that, like you said, Sheila, that it gives you the grace for the season and Dr. G, that he'll put an Ananias in your path to help you. But ultimately, we have to, have the faith in God ourselves. It becomes a personal thing because, God will do his part and give you grace for the season, and he'll do his part and give you an Ananias. But we're the ones that have to walk by faith be able to walk in his grace and be able to accept the help of the Ananias that God puts in your path. And we have to have the faith to be able to accept the assignment and do like Paul and carry it out. And I think sometimes people get a little gun shy when God gives you that big plan or that big vision or gives you that big push. And God allows people to step out on faith all the time, and he gives people the ability. I know some people start off in ministry that they don't even want to say something. Now they got a big testimony, or now they're working in this ministry or that ministry, and now their ministry is growing and they're doing other things and their faith is growing. But it's up to us to work our faith in God and call on the name of Jesus, because nobody can do it for you. You have to be obedient to God for yourself. God will be there with you, but he's not going to let you get in your comfort zone. You still truly walking by faith. It's going to be some uncomfortable times. Folks are going to be pulling you and pushing you, and you got to stand on the word of God and do what thus said the Lord. It's not a thing of where you can depend on yourself. You have to depend on God. And
right.
That's going to be our question today. Of depending on God. How are we learning in our ministry to depend more and more on God? And that should be, our review, coming back, in the Bible study, during this time of breakaway. Have we in our ministry learned to depend on God as we grow in ministry? How are we learning the importance and how we learn and depend more and more on God? So we're going to go to first caller, and we're going to go to first caller, last four digits, 1712. 1712. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Great question. For me, as I've grown, I've had to learn to depend on God, especially in my ministry as far as music, and I think even other aspects of my life. I think the more responsibility you have, the more you need to learn to let go and trust God, because when you talk about dependence, that means there's some level of trust that you have to instill in someone, or in this case, instill in the Lord, and you have to actually Amen. Fully trust. You can't halfway trust or situational trust. It's got to be all in. And I think the thing for us is, as you guys stated, when we're in those uncomfortable, unrecognizable situations, it's hard to trust God, because you're like, I want to do it myself. I got a better way to go about it. Sometimes mm-hmm. trusting God can be a waiting game, and we ain't trying to wait when we're uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? That's the most difficult
spot
to be in. Not impossible, but it's tough. And, you know, one of the things you guys touched on as well, even speaking from, you know, those people who aspire to be pastors or to be in some type of leadership role, one thing you have to understand is just as much work it took to get to that point, it takes that much work to sustain and to be able to deal with that day in and day out. And trust me, you think you needed the Lord on your journey to get there, you're going to need to depend on God even more stay there, because you're human, because there are things that you didn't foresee in the journey that, hey, once you get here, this is when the real work begins. And I'm not even just speaking to pastors of churches, any ministry you're in, anything that you're leading as you continue to grow, there are going to be challenges. So it's crazy, because you know how it is. It's like, it's the opposite of being a worldly child, because you know how it is. As you grow when you're a kid, you depend on your parents a little less. Yeah, they're there, but you depend on them less. But see, the opposite in the spiritual realm is as you grow spiritually, you're actually going to need God more, which is kind of mind-boggling. But it made sense to me a while ago, because you're thinking like, okay, I've been here, I'm established, I'm pastor, you know, I'm doing these things. But it's like, nah, man, like, this is where the real work begins, because guess what? As Sheila Gregory always says, it ain't about you. So when you're tired, when you're upset, you still got a job to do. God ain't like, all right, take the Sunday off, or hey, don't practice the songs. Like, he's like, nah, man, you still got to do my work. So guess what? You got to depend on God to give you strength. You got to depend on God that, hey, if I'm having an argument with my spouse, or I got a bad look, I done worked an 18-hour shift at work on Saturday. He like, you still got to get up and go to church, and you got to minister to people. You have some role or task. You still got to usher. You still got to be a deacon. You still got to lead praise and worship. We all go through different things, but the thing about growth in this spiritual realm is that the more you grow, the more you're going to need God and have to depend on God, primarily for those difficult situations. And do we get it right? Absolutely not. We probably don't get it right all the time like we should be, but the thing is this.
That's real.
Do what we're doing now. Call in. Apply the word. You know, we talk about knowledge is power, but what good is it if you don't use it? So applied knowledge is power. Don't just be on the call and absorb this information, or be in church and absorb these things. Apply it. Because if you don't apply it, you're not going to be able to sustain. And that's why you find so many churches closing their doors, so much turmoil in the church and divided. Look, don't let a pastor die or leave, and then the church got to figure it out amongst themselves. You'll find that the church will shut itself down because there's so much division and people are making it about themselves. And not putting God first, not depending on the Lord to say, hey, we're in unfamiliar territory, but we got to work it out. In so many stories in the Bible, we find these characters that appeal to some of us depending on where we are spiritually in our journeys. They've all had to depend on God. They've all had to let self go and embrace God. Right. So it's like, what good is it reading these stories and talking about all these different characters in the Bible when we find ourselves in the same boat? We do the polar opposite, knowing that we know that we can make the situation worse, knowing that we can derail so many things by inserting ourselves. And it's like, no, the answer is God. The answer is Jesus. You got to learn to depend. And I'm going to tell you, if you're serious about spiritual growth, be serious about taking on some adversity. Be serious about having days where you question if this is really what you want to do. Because let's be clear, not everybody's going to be successful, and not everybody's going to be able to sustain. And I commend Pastor, and I commend all of you all, because we've had some talks, and we know we've had some heart-to-hearts, and it ain't always sunshines and birds and packed house on Sunday and everybody screaming and praising you. It's like, no, we got to get to Sunday. Some weeks, you like, Sunday can't come fast enough. Well, look, I wish it was the eighth day of the week. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, man.
When Pastor was like, hey, you know, we're going to have – and I said it a certain time. He's like, hey, you know, you're going to play the piano. I'm like, all right, cool, I can sign up for that. The next thing you know, he like, hey, You see, there ain't nobody out there. We need somebody to be a deacon today. We need you to pray over the offering. We need you to get up here and look, teach a Sunday school. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right, right.
Like,
right.
Look, I'm struggling enough with just trying to get the songs together every week. I'm like, now you want me to do this? And granted, I did it,
right.
But I'm not going to lie. I wasn't thrilled about it. But now I look forward to it because I embrace the challenge. And I know, hey, it ain't about me. Just depend on God.
Yeah.
You got resources.
Right.
Let me talk
go.
To my brother that used to be a deacon. Let me talk to my mom that used to be a deacon. Let
there
me go.
You go.
Talk and work on some prayers just in case I got something. I got a little something in the arsenal. So I had to work on me.
There you go.
As a and look, and I could have told Pastor no because, again, we got free will. I could have been like, nah, that ain't what I signed up for. I'm more comfortable doing this. But
yeah.
I said, you know what?
Come on.
I know
come
this
on.
Man that got up here and went through God knows what, and he still get up here and show. So what do I look like telling somebody no and got in there to get up in there knowing that we all got a band together? And in our church, everybody wears multiple hats. Every week, you could
there
end up
go.
Playing a different role or doing two
there
or four different
go.
Things. And I appreciate that because you're depending on God and we're not making it about ourselves. And again,
right.
do we get it right all the time?
Mm-mm.
No, we don't.
Nope.
But continue to just show up and continue to work on yourself. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't depend on God and really, truly trust, it sounds cool to say in a conversation, it sounds cool to say, but if you genuinely don't put 100% of your trust in God, you're not going to make it. And you're going to always struggle with the adversity. You're never going to find a way to get a rhythm in your spiritual walk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be take one step forward, take two, three, four steps backwards, and you're never going to find that rhythm. But you got to learn in this journey, everybody's not going to make it to the end. And as a positive person as I am, that's the reality because too many Christians talk about it as opposed to being
mm-hmm.
about it. Amen.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 9880. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I didn't forgot the question, messing with Brandon, listening to his testimony. Can you repeat the question?
No, it's not. Yeah, learning depend more on God.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, for me, it's been patience. Like, I struggle with patience, and I struggle with, wanting things to get done, like, immediately, like wanting things to happen immediately. And sometimes God puts me in a position where he's like, I got this, I need you to watch and I need you to trust in me. Like, that's when my faith really does kick in a lot more because especially nowadays, like I deal with so many different types of people and
mm-hmm.
I know for me, my faith expression, you guys talked about face expressions earlier.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people where my face expressions will say everything. Like if I think that, something that you're saying is not entirely smart or not
that's
what
real. That's
I
real.
Think it's supposed to be. My face expression says it all, and I've had to truly work on it. I've had to work on myself, just trying to be patient, trying not to allow my face to say what I really want to say out my mouth because
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's my mouth too, but God really has worked on me just as a person. I find myself in little situations where I feel like I start stressing about, I start worrying about, and then God's like, I need you to calm down. I need you to focus on me. Do you trust me? Do you not trust me? Which one is it? And so then, he literally works it out in mysterious ways, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's why you did that. Okay,
mm-hmm.
that's how that's why you worked it the way you did. When I first started working with the community center that I'm at now, it's so weird how I ended up transitioning from, one place to another and how God worked that out. And it was a new experience for me because I never did anything like that before. I never had to leave, one job to go to another and, like a new beginning, a new journey. And
right.
God really has truly blessed me. He's truly continuously just working on me. And I'm not perfect. I would never say that I'm a perfect person because God, it's some days, it's some days where my faith is tested and sometimes I fail. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I fail.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I make mistakes and, but through that all is still a learning lesson because I truly, in the midst of those moments, I'm like, okay, what can I do differently? Lesson learned. How can I move differently? What, all right, Lord, thank you for showing me how you know, this way doesn't work, so we're going to try a different way, you know. So I truly thank God for just how he moves. Like, he really, truly does move in mysterious ways, and it's nothing but God. And through the radio station that I work at now, we wanted to start doing something with our church where we do What's Good Wednesdays, you know, where we have our prayer line on Wednesdays, mm-hmm. and we're trying to incorporate mm-hmm. What's Good Wednesdays. And that's pretty much saying, like, regardless of how my day has been, regardless how my week has been, I'm still going to find something good within that day that I can still talk about, whether it's me crossing the street or helping somebody across the street, whether it's me, you know, helping a customer out, or me, you know, one of our church members had her testimony, and she was sharing with us how, you know, somebody, a customer that she had, and he was rude, and, you know, he came back and he started mm-hmm. telling her what was going on with him. And that's nothing but God, you know. So I say all that to say that I'm still a work in progress, and God still has worked on me, is working on me, but the biggest thing for me is my patience and my face expressions and my mouth.
Hey, depending on God. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 0266. 0266. Good evening. All right. You must be listening in. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8760. 8760. Good evening. All right. They must be listening in. Well, Sheila G, Dr. G, that's all of our customer callers tonight. Dr. G, you want to have a final comment and close out in prayer, please?
Well, you know, I think the topic really says it all. If we're serious about this Christian journey, just like Paul, you know, the Lord has his own way of knocking us off our high horses. And once we become humble and filled with humility, then we are ready for the work that he has for us. As some of the callers said, it's not about us. It's not about what we want to do
mm-hmm.
or what
mm-hmm.
we want to do. It's about being obedient to what the Lord wants. And if we trust him and really depend on him, God knows what he's doing. We got to learn how to let go and let him have it. With that, let us bow our heads. Son of God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another Thursday evening. Father, we thank you for being able to get on and to learn some new things. Father, we thank you for Paul. We thank you for Ananias.
Yeah.
And Lord, we thank you for all of the Ananiases in the world. Father, help us
yeah.
now that we will continue to go forward. And Lord, we thank you that you will give us a testimony that we can share with somebody else. Oh, Father,
mm-hmm.
we pray that you would strengthen us as we go through the rest of this week. And Lord, come Sunday, whatever your will is, let it all be about you. We thank you in advance, and we give you the praise. For we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerful, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.